Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely your host, Mike Sammet, alongside the wonderful Stephen Julian, who right now is, you are beaming like a little kid, because I know we keep our shows timeless, but let's go ahead and just break that rule right now. The Nature Boy's coming to town, and you are like all excited.
See, if you were going to go out of the timeless, I thought you were going to say, because it's July 4th, it's Independence Day, we're excited to have an extra long weekend.
Are you more excited because it's July 4th, or are you more excited because Nature Boy's coming to town?
I am more excited about having a day off work. But yes, I am. I would say I'm equally excited that the Nature Boy's coming to town.
Well, you know what else is exciting?
The guests we have today. This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited about that.
Joining us on the program today from Atlanta Gaslight, we have the president, Brian Batson. And joining us from Recess Programs, it is the founder and owner, Janice Palmer. Thank you both to you for coming to the show today. We're going to start with Brian Batson, the president of Atlanta Gaslight. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
We're doing great. Folks are familiar with the name Atlanta Gaslight. I'm sure they're familiar with the company, but give us a little background about Atlanta Gaslight.
Well, Atlanta Gaslight's the oldest corporation in Georgia, founded in 1856. And the reason we're called Atlanta Gaslight is it was made to light the streets of Atlanta. So gas lamps actually lit the street prior to Sherman coming through.
You predate Sherman. That's amazing.
Not me personally.
Not you personally.
But the corporation.
Okay. Yeah, you haven't been president that whole
I have not
time.
Been
that's,
president.
That's pretty clear. So let me ask this then. Given that history, if you can do this in a couple of minutes, it started with lighting the gas lights inside of Atlanta. How has it developed over the years? Well, you know, we mostly know it now for natural gas, but talk a little bit about the development of that over the years.
Originally, it was gas made from burning coal. Once the interstates came from Louisiana across the U.S. and started into the Northeast, the industrialization began, and that was the natural gas that you know today.
What I don't think a lot of people realize, and I didn't realize until I was reviewing the notes before the show, is you guys don't actually provide the gas itself, but the infrastructure. Talk about that.
We're the delivery system. Yeah. And so you would have a natural gas marketer who would provide you billing and services around the product itself. You would get your rate from that marketer. And then we actually bill the marketer for the delivery. So we're the delivery system in the Georgia market.
And Brian, you mentioned, of course, the name of the company, Atlanta Gaslight, because you did gas lights 150 some odd years ago. But it's not just Atlanta now. You serve a broad area.
Right. Atlanta Gaslight's now in a family of companies called AGL Resources. And we're the largest natural gas-only distribution company in the United States with over 4 million customers. Here in Georgia, we have about 1.5 million customers. So we're the second largest of the utilities that we own.
We have listeners, of course, business owners and business leaders across the state and elsewhere that listen to these programs on Business Radio X. But we are based here in Gwinnett. So what projects is AGL working on now that would benefit Gwinnett residents?
What people in Gwinnett will see is infrastructure projects going along the highway. So Highway 120, various things that people understand when you're out driving around and you see cones up and you wonder what's going on. We're putting in new pipe and larger pipe to make sure that Gwinnett has the infrastructure for it to grow and to build, because industry is looking for energy sources, and you need to make sure, and we need to make sure, that Gwinnett has the energy it needs in order to grow and attract business.
Now, is that a project that's going on just around Gwinnett, or is that are you always running projects all throughout your footprint?
We have projects across the whole state, and to date, we spent about $825 million upgrading our system and replacing old pipe. Originally went in as sort of cast iron and bare steel before there was today's cathodically protected pipe. And so you have to replace it over time. And I think Georgia will be the first state to have finished replacing all of its bare steel and cast iron in the United States. So if you're in the Northeast U.S., you can't imagine that that's even able to be accomplished. And we're now putting that in the rearview mirror and moving forward.
And projects like that enhance the current system.
It makes our system stronger,
okay,
and more able to serve. So if you think about Atlanta, it grew out because there's no borders, there's no rivers that stop us. We just spread. And so our system has to be able to go out and reach out and get the customers out on the edge.
So apart from being an enhancement that is more up to date, as a customer, what else would there be any benefit to cost? Would there be any benefit to I guess, you know, when you see them working on the roads, you go, oh, there's an extra lane. So if I'm a customer and there's a pipe, I don't know what the benefit is. So what are the, other than updating, is it safer? Is it cleaner? Kind of talk about that a little bit.
You have a more safe and modernized system, and you have the energy available that creates the jobs that we all go to every day. So if you want to attract an industry into Gwinnett, one of the things they're going to ask, is there sewer? Is there water? Is there electricity? And can it take on the value that I bring? Can it be added to what I need and help me produce my product?
So that helps also as we try to attract businesses. Jordan.
Absolutely.
And Mike, if nothing else, we can brag to the north, hey, we got it done quicker than you. I love that. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Way sooner.
Our guest is Brian Batson. He's the president of Atlanta Gaslight. And Brian, I'm going to toss you a softball right now for you to knock it out of the park. Talk about the benefits of using natural gas.
Well, you have a affordable fuel. It's American. So all of it that we use right here, almost 99%+ comes from the U.S. A little bit comes in from Canada, a little bit from Mexico. But when you look at our source of fuel, it's right here. And it's abundant. So there's more than 100-year supply. I don't know, you know, where we'll be in 100 years, but that's good for me. That's good for you. All of us are covered. And I think with the ingenuity that exists today, they continue to find other ways to bring the gas to the market. So it's here, and it's very affordable. With the proliferation that we have in Pennsylvania and the shale gas exploration, predominantly gas came out of the Gulf and came over and up. There's now gas will eventually flow from Pennsylvania south. That's how much gas is being produced out of the shale gas in Pennsylvania. And it's just changing the dynamic in the market. And so the price today is at really all-time lows. If you look at units just as far back as 06 and 05, you might have been paying $10 a unit the way we buy it. Today we're paying $380, $350. So you've got a product that's a third of what it was in 05 and 06. I challenge you to bring me something else that cost a third of what it did just 10 years ago.
I like the answer, Steve. And the first thing he said is it's American, which fits in with the 4th of July weekend here.
Well done.
Let me ask you this question, because I know a lot of people are asking it. And I asked it to you before we came on the show, and I think it should be addressed. And that is our prolific this country, we rely on oil and gas. And the natural gas, and I don't talk about natural gas. Natural gas is there, and we could do things so much more effectively and greener and cleaner, and the technology is there, but we're slow getting there. Why is that? And I know we want to be politically correct, but why is that?
I think in general, people are comfortable with what they understand. And the infrastructure, if you look across America, the infrastructure in place to utilize petroleum-based fuel is prolific and very reliable. And so as we try to transition over to a natural gas-based fuel system, the cars are available. It's not new technology. The first natural gas car that I drove was a 1999 Honda Civic. I bought it on eBay for $3,500. So they are there and they are available. And Honda sells one today. So nothing has changed, but the ability to fuel it is what makes people uncomfortable. If you drive a vehicle, you don't want to wonder, where would I fuel it? And so now Georgia has 12 stations that you can fuel your natural gas vehicle at, and I see that continuing to grow. The early adopters are MARTA, for instance. MARTA's buses now run on natural gas. People may not understand that or know that, but you don't smell the diesel. You don't see the dust coming out of the tailpipe. It's clean. And so, and what you're seeing now is the large trucks, waste management, people who do run trash trucks, things that get 3 miles to the gallon. There's a lot of infrastructure built that allow them to fuel that vehicle, and avoid all kinds of emission issues. And as EPA tightens down on emissions, I think you'll see more and more people adopters of use of natural gas for fueling.
And that's a good place for to get into the vehicles. That's a good place for natural gas to start, because MARTA can transform their fill stations for their buses.
That's right.
Is it possible, in your opinion, because you talked about the infrastructure. Everybody knows gas station on every corner, and it all pumps gas. How hard would it be to change the infrastructure for the consumer? You mentioned, again, before we came on the air, you kind of talked about one of the car dealerships close by that works on the car, and,
sure.
And you talked about filling it. how easy is it to change the infrastructure for the for just the driving consumer?
As long as the natural gas exists in the area, then it's certainly easy to do. This is just a layman's opinion, but if we had one filling station every 100 miles on the interstate, that would unlock your brain. Because today, if you had a natural gas car, you're wondering, can I get from A to B? But there is an app for that, just in case you wondered, which I can pull my phone out and tap it, and it'll show me the closest natural gas fueling station. And if I were in Oklahoma, I wouldn't even think about it. They're everywhere. But in Georgia, there's 12 of them. Asheville has a fairly prolific, for that area, 3 or 4 or 5 up in the Asheville area. Greenville, South Carolina has one. So you can certainly look and find them. But just personally, I believe if there was a station every 100 miles, people would go, well, I can go to grandmother's. I'm not going to run out of fuel. It's not going to be an issue. Then once people are no longer tentative, you buy the vehicle. You buy the vehicle, they build the station. So it's a little bit of a chicken and egg, but Georgia Public Service Commission has come up with a program where they're trying to seed the industry and build some stations and create the availability.
Well, let me ask a question that might sound ignorant, which I'm kind of known for on this show. Don't say anything, Mike, just yet. So you've obviously talked about the growth of natural gas in terms of vehicles. What other areas when it comes to producing power? I mean, you know, and we always think of natural gas for heating our homes.
Sure. And you should.
You should. Absolutely. What are some of the other areas that natural gas could expand into as a greener, cheaper way of providing energy than our normal fossil fuels?
Electricity. They will generate electricity with natural gas. And that's a good use of it. That's a clean use of it. It's always more efficient if you use it to actually heat your water than it is to make the electricity, to send the electricity to heat the hot water. But it's still cheaper and cleaner. So you'll see that happening across the country. And then you're going to see a return of business industrialization coming back onto the U.S. soil. So what people went away when the price of natural gas was $10 and $12, if you make fertilizer, you use a lot of our product. Now that it's back to $3, they're rebuilding infrastructure back into the U.S. and industry is coming home. So
because it left, because it was cheaper to do it overseas.
People went to India and China because it was much cheaper. Now that we have found the shale gas, the price has come down. It has stabilized. And now America is actually looking at exporting LNG, which is liquefied natural gas. You can cool it enough to liquefy it.
Our guest is Brian Batson, the president of Atlanta Gaslight here on Gwinnett Business Radio. And obviously the future of AGL is very bright. And we talked about the expense of natural gas compared to the alternatives. It's just very inexpensive. Are there other things that customers can do? And we talk about heating the home. Are there other things customers can do to keep their natural gas bills lower?
I think the best thing you can do is make sure you have good insulation. Very simple, but make sure your windows are caulked. Make sure you have insulation in the walls and in the attic and under the floor, and you know, make that a specific target of what you want to do. And most anyone can go weatherize their home, and a lot of people don't necessarily do that, or some people may not think to do that. So there's packages and things you can do, but main thing, if you look around your windows and around your doors, and if you go stand there in the winter and you feel the cool air coming in, that means the hot air is going out. So your ability to reduce that transfer of your heat out of your house and keep it in your house will certainly lower your bill. And I would say that maybe even better than that is a programmable thermostat. You would be surprised how much you can save if you would just buy a thermostat that lets it get cooler in the night when you're asleep and brings it back up in the morning when you want to come out of the bed and takes it down when you go to work, because you won't remember to do that every day. But you can well save the cost of a new thermostat just by putting it in.
We're talking with Brian Batson, the president of AGL Resources, also known as Atlanta Gaslight. Brian, let me ask you a little bit of a question off the beaten path. In terms of business here in Georgia,
right,
and specifically business in Gwinnett County, you guys are one of the big players. You're one of the companies really known for being located in Georgia, obviously. Talk a little bit about AGL and what they do in the community, AGL, what they do, especially in the business community, small business community. I mean, you talked about one of the projects of expanding the pipes is to help bring more business into Georgia. Are there other things where you're literally, you know, kind of pressing the flesh and shaking hands and getting out there and meeting people?
Sure. We have employees who serve and help local communities and economic development groups bring and attract business into the state. We do that, and the power company does that. I mean, normal parts of being a utility and being available. But when businesses visit, they want to know who they're dealing with. They want to see people, look them in the eye, and understand what they're being told and that they can rely on that, and just know that they have a company that they can rely on. And that's a big part of what we do. We have the best employees. We have great employees. They love what they do. We're one of the few companies, and really one of the very few utility companies that comes in your house. You don't really think of it that way, but for natural gas, they have to come in the house to turn it on. The power company can actually switch it off and outside the house. We come in because we like the pilots. We check for the safety, and then we set the customer up. So we still go in and out of homes. So we have a real personal touch that many of the other utilities still don't have.
Real quick, and again, let me show my ignorance a little bit. Natural gas itself does not have any odor.
Right.
So you actually have to add the odor so you know if maybe there's a leak.
Colorless and odorless is the way it comes to us. And we add the stink, is the way I would define it. If you've ever smelled a rotten egg, that's what it smells like. And if you've ever smelled a gas leak, you know you've smelled it. And so that's – and we do that so that it – since it's colorless and odorless, if you do smell that smell, we want you to know that. Remove yourself from the premise, call us, and we'll respond. We're there within 30 minutes in most every case.
But is there any way, Brian, you can make it smell like chocolate chip cookies or something like that?
I wouldn't want to incite people to smell it. We want, when you smell it, we want you to know this isn't something I like, right, and I want this to quit.
I noticed that wasn't on your business card, Brian. We add the stink. that wouldn't be a good marketing line,
would it?
When should customers contact AGL?
Apart from when they smell the stink.
When they smell the stink.
The way the Georgia market works, most people contact their marketer, who in turn coordinates with us the turn on and the turn off. But we have a website, and you can go to the AtlantaGaslight.com to get information about rebates, get information about energy efficiency. We have some really good rebates, especially around tankless hot water heaters. If anybody's ever been in their house and you've ever run out of hot water, and if you're the father and you're last, which in my house it's all girls, so I am last, a tankless hot water heater is a wonderful thing because it doesn't ever end.
You mentioned the marketers. Who are some of the more common marketers that people would recognize?
We have large ones and small ones. We have Scana. We have Georgia Natural Gas. We have Gas South. We have Fireside Energy. We have a whole list that people can go to the Georgia Public Service Commission website, and it will list all their marketers and all their rates.
Because I bet a lot of people thought, you know, Scana and all these are actually your competitors, but you actually work hand in hand with
them.
They
are my customer. And so I support all of them equally by being there to turn on the gas for you once you've agreed to a term with a marketer.
Are there different resources for business owners? Are there different ways, because we're talking about how customers, is there a different website if I'm a business owner and dealing with natural gas?
You still would come on to AtlantaGaslight.com, but there would be some commercial rebates, some commercial information that would take you down a path. If you were putting a fryer in somewhere, we would think you would want to put in a natural gas fryer. If you've ever been to any major restaurant in Atlanta, they're using natural gas to cook. You see the flame. That's what a real chef wants to cook on, is a natural gas stove. So commercial usage around that industry is large. You'd be surprised to think about just the hotel industry and the number of towels they wash, the amount of natural gas that they use. If you wash a lot of white towels in hot water so they're shiny and new for your customer, you use a lot of natural gas.
All right, Brian, how can customers contact AGL? You mentioned the website. Are there other areas people can go to find out more about AGL?
Yeah, I still think the website, the AtlantaGaslight.com website, is the best. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at Atlanta Gaslight. I know in the new age, I'm a little bit of the old age, but I mean, I know current stuff is always happening. People want to know what's happening. We have information out there for folks as they move along. With my daughter, she reminds me that, you know, I'm behind the times when it comes to things like that. I asked her what she was doing at work 2 weeks ago. She says, I was sending out tweets for the office. And I said, I'm not your target market. Right, right, Daddy. So, you know, but we're out there and we're available for that market. And then we also have the simple answer of you can call us if you want to call us. So there's a phone there for that. But the real deal is, I think if you go to our website, that's the fastest, simplest way to then direct yourself. And the phone numbers will be available on that website. But you can remember AtlantaGaslight.com. You won't remember a phone number if I tell you right now.
Right. Well, and the one thing you can tell your daughter is, you know, sweetie, at least I'm not still lighting lamps cops on the streets.
That's
you know,
correct.
We've progressed a little bit from there.
She probably thinks I was there holding the lamp while the guy was lighting
Daddy,
it.
Daddy, did you see Sherman when he came through Atlanta? Yeah.
And besides, we still are going to get pipes faster than updated than the North, so I'm still very happy
absolutely.
About that.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Brian Batson, the president of Atlanta Gaslight, joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Our next guest now is the CEO, founder of Recess Programs, and that's Recess in all capital letters with periods in between. So, Janice Palmer, welcome to the program. Obviously, Recess must stand for something, so tell us what it stands for and what Recess Programs is all about.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike and Steve. Recess is an acronym. It's specific to what's needed for kids, for adults who actually start out as kids. I know we were all there once. A lot of the insecurities that set in being a youth in relation to fitness, but it's basically recreational exercise, creating energy, self-esteem, and success. And that acronym sort of embodies what we do as a company for health clubs and communities around the nation.
So your company hasn't been around 150 years, not the first corporation in the state of Georgia. So why did you decide to start this?
Oh, well, no, we have not been around for 150 years. And in fact, the obesity epidemic is actually something that's very new in awareness in the country. We actually began as a concept in my head when I was, 18 years ago. I have my son who I just took to college this weekend. And I would take him with me when I would teach fitness. And that was one of the things that a lot of my girlfriends would mention when they were pregnant, you know, not being able to go to the gym or have some place that they could feel safe with their child so that I would see them to start drop off the map, health-wise. As an instructor and a manager in the fitness industry, it just sort of became something that I enjoyed doing. I saw that there was a need for, youth to be involved, that progressed through management and ownership of health clubs into the idea of how do I keep these women and men, how do I keep them active and from saying, oh, wow, summer's here, I've got to quit, or it's the holidays, oh, I can't go to the gym, or I'm running to soccer and hockey and baseball and softball and football, and I have no time for me. We see such a need in the industry, and the industry, unfortunately, has been unable to answer that need because there aren't programs in place. So about 6 years ago, I began testing and developing these programs, and they were birthed into what is Recess now.
So how does Recess work? It sounds like it's programs that are offered to health clubs. So I pretend I'm a health club owner. How does it work? What are you trying to get me to do?
Recess is designed specifically for the health club industry. Yes. We're not designed to go into the schools and the churches. And that's specific. And I can tell you about that in a little bit as far as the reason for that. But as a health club owner, a lot of times what will happen is they're not aware that this tool is there. A lot of them are almost afraid to bring youth into it because the industry, you know, for the last 20 years has been very adult focused. Obviously, for financial reasons, the adults pay the bills. So we have not necessarily gone to the youth. It is important. And now that retention is becoming more of a tool that clubs are actively seeking out, recess programs and youth programming comes more to the forefront. So as a health club owner, you may or may not be aware that this is even out there. A lot of times it's from parental knowledge. So on our website, we have two different, areas. One is for parents and one is for health clubs. So if I'm speaking with a health club or I see that there's a need or I'm reaching out to a health club in particular, obviously I would direct them to that part of our website. However, the For Parents Only is designed and being developed to really address the needs of that parents, to give them education tools, to give them connect and community tools, to even if they don't belong to a health club, to have that knowledge in their toolkit so that then they can go to their health club, whether they are with one or joining one, and say, hey, I want this program. I want to be able to work out. I want to not have to spend my entire summer sitting at home having that guilt just pile up and up and up and then hit it hard in August. I'd like to be able to continue going year-round and have the freedom to do that. So basically, it's not always through the health club owner. It could be through the health professional, trainers, personal training staff, small group training, child care center owners. anybody who obviously has two things in common, fitness and kids.
We're talking with Janice Palmer with Recess Programs, and I'll go ahead and bite. You said not in the churches, not in the schools. Why not?
Oh, I love answering this question. Recess was designed for the health club industry specifically because it is the only cross-sample random population in a community. If you go into churches, you're excluding those who have not yet found the church community. If you go into the schools, you're excluding the parents from that dynamic. So there's a ton of grants offered out there in the industry or in the nation. But a lot of them are being filled in either rural or downtown locations. So they're in areas of need from a financial standpoint. However, the other opportunity for grants is to be offered in the school setting. So basically taking it away from the school, putting it into a health club, which is in every area that has a school, you're now allowing the ability for kids to be able to work out simultaneously with their parents. And again, goes back to alleviating that excuse of the parents of, I have no time for me. If we put it in the schools, the parents are going to drop off the children and we miss that very valuable entity of the family dynamic by feeding the family. Obviously not feeding the family, literally feeding the family with health. You're feeding both parent and child and then creating a stronger community.
So does it sounds like the recess program can be something where parents and kids are exercising together. Are there also ways for parents and kids to be exercising separately? What's the breadth of the type of programs that are offered?
Yes. Basically it's designed to be held while parents and children work out simultaneously, not necessarily in the same environment, because we as adults seriously need that opportunity of a break.
Thank you. Yes.
So Recess has several different programs. The main program is called Recess. And it's for ages 5 to 11 or 12, depending upon the facility. The parents, it's designed to be held in a group fitness room. So that is one of the components that we look at when we place it into fitness facilities, is what type of area is available for the programs to be held in. We're going to be throwing balls, and not hard balls, but throwing balls. We need to take account of equipment that's in the room, lighting structures, all of the things that are industrially developed for that industry environment. Our programs are based around that environment specifically. So typically the easiest thing is, hey, does this health club have a group fitness room? It falls right into that dynamic. Then the parents are able to go do either another group fitness class if there's one available, which we highly recommend. Group environment and exercises is literally one of the best ways to see success. And that's becoming something that is more common, in the industry and in the communities, and people are learning that that's the way to sort of make it last. But they can also go hop on the treadmill and watch their child play, which reinforces that joy in what they're doing for their family. So it literally takes the guilt that has been there related to fitness and health and children and flip-flops it completely around and makes it something that is associated with joy. So fitness becomes joyful. Go figure.
Janice, if I'm a gym owner or operator or a health club owner or operator, is this expensive for me to get involved with the Recess program?
Not at all. As an owner myself, it was important for me. I mean, we have people that have products in the industry that come to us all the time. And there's some great products, but the majority of them that are out there in the U.S. Now, the U.K. has a lot of great programs, but in the U.S., most of them require large equipment changes. So, or large space changes. So to do small group training for youth, you need a certified instructor or a specific person who has interest in that entity, or that type of demographic. And so you've got, as a health club owner, you're very limited, with what is out there. Recess is designed to be very economical. You can run the Recess programs on $80 a month.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say I'm a member of a health club and I want to get your program into my health club. Is there anything that I can do
Well, actually, Mike, you are a member of a health club, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you were a member of our health club,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. you can actually.
Can't you tell?
You,
look at the
you're
guns.
You're looking awesome.
Thank
okay?
you.
actually, if you're a member of a health club and your health club does not carry recess, go to our website, kidsloverecess.com. Very easy to remember. Your kids love recess. I love recess. We all love recess and we're all kids at heart. So kids love recess, and that goes for adults too. Go to the four parents on the main page. You'll see the four parent section, and it basically says, I want recess for my club. And click on that. We'll get an instant email and I'll send you information on how to enroll your club, and I'll reach out to your club, explain to them the benefits of carrying the program and what we do for the that comes with it, because it's not just the programs. We do a lot of other things as well.
You do consulting and things like that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It sort of breeds into that naturally. Bringing the recess program in is part of the beauty of what we've done with it, is it's not just here's the tools, plop it in place. We actually help you staff it. We actually help the health club to set their operations around it. A lot of health clubs only market to the adults. They have an individual membership. We come in and help them restructure that. So now they can offer a family membership. We teach them how to work with cancellation tools so that when they do have that mom coming and saying, yeah, I'm dropping childcare, and actually I just need to drop my membership because I'm just too busy and we're on the road with the kids and I can't get in here. Teach that club how to say, you know what? Hey, we have this great program. And guess what? All you have to do is come in twice a week and your child's taken care of. They're happy. You're happy. And we're making you healthy. So we teach those strategies, a lot of retention tools, retention strategies to health clubs as a part of our consulting services.
We're talking with Janice Palmer from Recess Programs. And Janice, let me ask this question. I'm sitting here thinking health clubs I know about, most of them have child care. So I'm going to kind of ask your opinion. You can go as far as you want, or you can keep it as politically correct as you want. How did this get missed? because I'm sitting here thinking it's such a natural step to have, I have to bring my child in order for me to work out. So I'm going to go put them over in this, and some have great services.
Yes.
So how did this get missed? That you obviously found this niche. And then the second thing is to kind of ask you mentioned something about staff and certification. Unpack that a little bit more, because I'm wondering, if I'm a health club owner and I'm thinking, well, I've already got the childcare over here, how hard would it be to have somebody who's already passionate about working with kids to just now add a health element to it? So kind of unpack those two, an opinion and a question.
Great. Let's see if I can remember all of that.
Okay. First, how did this get missed? That's the first.
Basically, what I mentioned earlier, our industry was focused on those that are interested in health and fitness. And a lot of times, you look back at how health clubs started, it was, I enjoy fitness, therefore I'm going to go to the gym. I think I want to be around other people that enjoy fitness. I think I'm going to own a gym. So I'm owning a gym. I enjoy working out. And unfortunately, along that pattern, they miss the fact that 80% of our population still doesn't enjoy fitness because they haven't found what makes it happy for them. It hasn't found that joy. So, and again, there's no direct revenue source typically from bringing kids into the club. Another issue is, and I'll come back to that one. Another issue is, again, finding those people to do it, that are passionate about it, that want to develop programs for it. And then for the health club, what if that person leaves? So a lot of these things are the reasons that keep health clubs from actually going down that path. So basically finding the people, you're right. A lot of them have great childcare centers, but what happens developmentally when a child hits the age of 5 and 6? And if you look at our programs, the breakdown is, it actually changed over about a 2 to 3 year period in a lot of the testing that I was doing. It started out at around age 7, and I backed it up a little bit because what I started finding is something happens developmentally at age 5. That child begins to become more autonomous. They want to be like mom and dad. They want to be a part of the big group. They don't want to be in the childcare facility. So what we start hearing is, yeah, my child doesn't want to go in there. It was great when they were little, but they're too big for it now. They feel like they're babies and they don't want to be associated with the babies. And that's a good, important thing that they should feel. It's part of natural development. So our programs actually transition at the age of 5. So the second program that we offer is Recess Junior, and that is for ages 0. Used to be ages 1 to 5, but I'm so excited it's ages 0 to 5 because I have little ones that come in with mom, and they're getting the sequencing pattern and they're seeing the fun in it. But anyway, so that pattern is from 0 to 5. And then at 5, they're able to do both programs and they transition at their own pace, their own developmental pace. There's also different developmental needs of a child who is ages 5 to 11. Another problem in the industry is that the only things that are offered for youth right now are broken down into ages 5 to 9 and 9 to 13. That's something that's very, a lot of the grant programs, a lot of the personal training program or small group training programs, in-school programs are broken down into those age groups. Well, most parents who have a 9-year-old, a lot of them typically have a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old too. So if you put that on the schedule in a club, you're going to have mom now going to a class for one child, then returning to a class for the other child. One of those children is inevitably left out. So the club falls into that trap, and then they have, again, they're back to the cancellation. So what we did, and again, cancellation of activity, not necessarily cancellation of a membership due to financial need. However, that is what makes the business go. So it is a factor for health club owners. So what we did is we designed, and it's what makes us exclusive to this niche. We designed the program so that a 5-year-old little girl can be exercising in an activity right next to an 11-year-old boy. And that boy doesn't feel any less like an 11-year-old boy. And that 5-year-old girl is able to keep up. So that's what makes our programs and our structured activities that we offer to the health clubs every month as a part of that package so important. So to answer your question, why has it been missed? First and foremost, just because of the natural pattern our fitness industry started out and developed, it became an interest about 8 to 10 years ago. That's when we started seeing this transition. But in response to that, there was nothing out there. If there was something out there, it was something that was costly. Again, back to the equipment, back to the, speed schools. That puts you back into, what about the child who's, I like to call them the 4-leaf clover pickers like me. You know, I sit at recess and I didn't go play dodgeball and, chase and tag. I sat and looked for 4-leaf clovers. I deserved a little bit of activity as well, without it being sports focused or sports specific. I'm sorry, Mike. I know that's, the only activity that you do, right?
Maybe. No comments.
No. But it needs to be something that addresses every child, because every child will become every adult. Every adult is what every fitness facility is trying to attract. So why not start off when they're little?
I've got your slogan. We got the slogan for AGL. We add the stink. The slogan for you, Janice, is no child left behind.
I love it.
I don't think it's been done before. I'm not sure.
I think it's a new one.
Yeah.
I might want to research it a little bit.
I just came up with that. I don't know. That's amazing. I wish we had more time, and I really wish you were more passionate about what you do, Janice. I mean, I still do not see the passion there.
Yeah. But it's something I lack. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll work on that. We'll work on that. Okay. For folks that want to find out more about Recess, where do you want to send them?
Right now, the website, kidsloverecess.com, and just like Brian was saying, it's a great resource because it directs you to everything else, the Twitter, the Facebook, the phone number. So whatever works for you, you'll typically find it on our websites.
Janice, always great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Steve.
All right. And Brian Batson, our other guest, the president of Atlanta Gaslight. Brian, once again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Want to remind everybody that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Gwinnett Radio X and like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X as well. For Steve and Julian.
You know, Mike, AGL may add the stink, but I am the stink.
I can't top that. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.